water projects or sanitation projects or landing sites and harbors and other infrastructural projects or whatever this government used your tax money to execute, the key to your query is right there on your phone. Mr. Speaker, the performance tracker will be formally launched in March, and I'm offering it as a device which will help bring accountability into your hands. With the performance tracker, we can be sure that never again will pictures of an artist's impression be offered as projects that have been completed. I'm able to recommend the performance tractor in the sure knowledge that the Akufo-Addo government has done more in education in terms of student enrollment, teacher training and employment, provision of infrastructure than any government. We have similarly done more in health, agriculture, security, roads, railways, tourism, digitalization than any other government. Thanks to the performance tracker, the president no longer has to go through lists. And I have the confidence to say that every performance indicator used shows we have done more in these 7 years than in any of the 8 years under the National Democratic Congress. Indeed, Mr. Speaker, on coming into office 7 years ago, my government took the decision, as we promised, to modernize and formalize the economy through digitalization. In this regard, we have embarked on one of the most far-reaching Mr. Speaker, come what may, I will have my day in Hansard. I will have my day in Hansard. Come what may. Believe with me. Indeed, Mr. Speaker, on coming into office 7 years ago, my government took the decision, as we promised, to modernize and formalize the economy through digitalization. In this regard, we have embarked on one of the most far-reaching digitalization exercises in Africa. Up from the figure of 900,000 which we inherited when we came into office in 2017. We have thus far enrolled 17.6 million on the Ghana card and therefore provided unique biometric identity to the majority of Ghanaians. We've also implemented the digital property address system with unique addresses for all properties in Ghana. Furthermore, through the implementation of mobile money interoperability, we've also provided access to financial services for adult Ghanaians through mobile money accounts that are interoperable with bank accounts. Ghana is now ranked number one in Africa in terms of access to financial inclusion. We have digitalized the provision of public services at the ports, DVLA, NHIS, GRA, births and deaths, registrar of companies, ECG, Ghana Water, amongst others. Ghana is ranked number one in West Africa and number seven in Africa in e-governance. We have also implemented the use of drones in the delivery of medicines, blood, and vaccines. And Ghana currently runs the world's largest medical drone delivery service. We have also networked all teaching regional and district hospitals, and patient records can easily be accessed in these hospitals without the need for a folder. Ghana is making giant strides in the area of digitalization, thereby improving transparency, accountability, and efficiency in the public sector and accelerating the growth of our economy. We are definitely going to be part of the digital revolution that is sweeping the world. Mr. Speaker, last year when I came to the House to deliver the annual message on the state of the nation, we were in the midst of negotiations with the International Monetary Fund. We were faced with a very difficult situation and had to take a lot of unpleasant but unavoidable measures to bring stability and confidence back to the economy. These included tax measures that we did not like, but we knew we had to take in the knowledge that the medicine would be bitter but temporary. Mr. Speaker, a year ago, I also stated the decision to undertake a comprehensive debt restructuring of our domestic and external debt to ensure we remain resolute in our objective to restore macroeconomic stability and sustainable growth. The decision was not an easy one, considering the complex and diverse domestic debt landscape. We had to consider safeguarding the financial sector, preserving social and economic conditions, and protecting our domestic debt market. A year on, I'm happy to inform you, Mr. Speaker, that we have made significant progress. We requested an unprecedented number of bondholders to participate in a voluntary exchange, and we were able to exchange successfully some 203 billion CDs worth of bonds. Not only was the exchange successful, but it helped us to secure within 5 months the shortest possible time in recent debt restructuring history, a staff level agreement to an executive board agreement with the IMF. My gratitude goes to all financial sector players, organized labor, firms, regulatory institutions, and all individuals who made this painful exercise successful. Mr. Speaker, as you may recall, government successfully paid the first coupon of 2.3 billion CDs on the new bonds on 22nd August 2023. At the time, that was the single biggest payout of domestic payments in a single day for Ghana. We then paid 2 billion and 60 million CDs for the last leg of the domestic debt exchange on 5th September 2023. A week ago last Tuesday, on 20th February 2024, the second coupon of 5.8 billion CDs was paid to domestic bondholders. This is the largest coupon paid in a day in Ghana's history. On the external debt side, we achieved a significant milestone by reaching an agreement with our public creditors. And I'll use this occasion to express our appreciation to the Republic of France and the People's Republic of China, co-chairs of the Official Creditors Committee, for their positive roles in this achievement. We've also intensified our engagement with our external bondholders on the principles of transparency, fair treatment, consistency with the IMF debt sustainability analysis, and good faith. We are focused and committed to accelerating the process. Mr. Speaker, we're committed to concluding the external debt restructuring process as soon as possible, so we move past the crisis. This will enable us to complete substantially projects that have been constrained due to financial challenges. In the meantime, some of the priority projects have been transferred onto the GOG budget with the same fiscal space to ensure their completion. This will enable the Kumasi International Airport, with some 98% complete, to be completed by May. Other projects like the Komfuanochi Teaching Hospital, CATH, maternity block in Kumasi, the Takoradi Interchange, the Betchebi Lamte Interchange in Accra, the University of Environment Sustainable Development Project at Bunso in the Eastern Region, Phase 2 of the construction of roads in Tamale, and the construction of the 84-kilometer railway line between Tema and Nakosumbo would also be completed. Mr. Speaker, I'm happy to announce that an alternative source of funding has also been secured for the reconstruction and completion of La Hospital project as a fully functional modern hospital with the necessary equipment for diagnosis and treatment. The contractor has been paid an advance mobilization of 15%, representing some $7.5 million, and work has begun. The project commenced effectively in January this year and will be completed in 28 months. Mr. Speaker, it is important to underline that the recent change in the leadership of the Finance Ministry will not affect government's determined commitment to implementing the terms agreed with the IMF to ensure that we restore the economy to healthy growth as soon as possible. Indeed, the macro economy was much stronger at the end of 2023 than in 2022. Inflation, which peaked at 54.4%, in December 2022, has reduced to 23.5% in January 2025. Real GDP growth for the first three quarters of 2023 averaged 2.8%, higher than the targeted growth rate of 1.5% for 2023. The CD has been largely stable since February 2023, with a cumulative depreciation of 9% between February and December 2023. Gross international reserves reflected a significant buildup of $5.9 billion, enough to cover 2.7 months of import of goods and services. The current account turned positive at 1.4% of GDP at the end of September 2023, from negative 2.1% at the end of December 2022. Generally, the macroeconomic indicators are once again all pointing in the right direction. I should point out that in all our discussions with the fund, a paramount consideration has been to ensure that the poor and vulnerable do not bear the brunt of the sacrifices that have to be made. Programs like LEAP, school feeding and capitation grant have been protected and indeed enhanced. Mr. Speaker, right from the start of this government coming into office, we have sought to place the maximum effort on the education and training of the youth as the base for building the prosperous nation we seek. A foreign statesman once posed the question, and I quote, Why am I the first member of my parliament in a thousand generations to have gone to the university? Unquote. In the past 7 years, I've met many people, young and old, across the country, who have told me about the first person in their families, in their communities, to have gone to senior high school. They might ask the question, why are they the first boy or girl in their family to have gone to senior high school? The answer is not far-fetched. Not being able to go to secondary school for lack of money was so widespread an accepted phenomenon that it led to some people thinking senior high school was not meant for them or their children or for people from their village. And therefore, a child in the family finishing junior school and moving on to senior high school was simply not factored in their expectations. The Speaker, free SHS might be labeled by its distractors as a mere political slogan that must be demonized, but it is in fact a transformative program that has broken myths and liberated minds. It is humbling on one hand and frightening on the other to think of the sheer number of talents the free SHS has unearthed that would otherwise have ended their formal education at BEC. I know we will get more engineers, doctors, architects, scientists, writers, and poets out of the increased numbers of those attending senior high school who will go into further education. Even if they stop at high school, at senior high school, imagine what a million more secondary school educated young people will do to our self-confidence and the value of our workforce. That alone makes free SHS worthwhile. I'm proud that the MPP government under my leadership has been able to bring this transformative policy into our education system. Mr. Speaker, I believe the success of the free SHS policy has answered its critics, and the arguments about it should cease, and we should simply concentrate on finding ways to improve it. I'm particularly glad that the fears about lowering of standards have been allayed. Refreshingly, we witnessed through the 2023 batch of free SHS students the best WACSI results in over a decade. The Speaker, there's more to education than free SHS, and government has been paying equal attention to all the other sectors. Kindergarten, primary school, and junior high school must work together to give a solid foundation and strengthen the free SHS policy. The implementation of various programs, such as the capitation grant, feeding grants to special schools, BEC registration for pupils in public junior high schools, among others, have significantly increased access to education at the basic level. The focus of the comprehensive reforms within the sector has been to improve learning outcomes and ensure every child that goes through our education system is equipped with literacy and numeracy skills by the time they exit primary six. And national standardized tests for numeracy and reading skills is now being conducted at primary four. Unfortunately, quite a number of children still manage to slip out of the net and miss going to school altogether or drop out at primary school. The Ministry of Education partnered with key developing infrastructure for science, technology, and engineering and mathematics STEM education at the pre-tertiary level. The construction of 10 STEM schools and 10 STEM centers has commenced across the country, with 7 STEM model schools having been operationalized. These schools have been equipped with state-of-the-art laboratories and classrooms, dormitories, assembly halls, dining halls, and conducive environments to foster teaching and learning. The operational high schools have a total enrollment at present of 2,400 students reading general science and STEM. Mr. Speaker, in recognizing the critical role of technical and universal and vocational education and training in the country's industrialization agenda, the government continued implementing key reforms in the TVET space, including the expansion of the free senior high school program to include students in public TVET institutes. Mr. Speaker, a lot of resources has gone into the provision of infrastructure at all levels of the educational system, but a lot remains to be done. Many basic schools require more adequate classrooms and furniture, and the environment in some of these schools can be made more suitable for learning and teaching. Some of the senior high schools, especially the community schools recently absorbed into the formal GES structure, lack the facilities that these established schools take for granted. We must all express our gratitude to the teachers in such schools who manage, in spite of the difficulties, to bring out the best in their students and sometimes succeed in achieving great results. They exemplify the best in the Ghanaian and give us hope for the future. Indeed, the one tablet per student policy at the senior high school level is being rolled out and will formally be launched by me next month. It is a great tool to help bridge the gap between disadvantaged and privileged students. Mr. Speaker, free SHS and our no guarantor policy under the Student Loan Trust Fund are breaking down financial barriers for students seeking higher education. By eliminating the requirement for a guarantor, we have empowered students from economically disadvantaged backgrounds to pursue their educational aspirations without undue financial burden. This has meant a substantial increase in the number of students seeking tertiary education. And it is in response to this increase, the government has decided to establish four new universities in Mampong in the Ashanti region, Akrodia in the Bono region, Bonsu in the Eastern region, and Kintampo in the Bono East region, and expand the facilities in existing ones. We're pursuing interventions towards achieving by 2030 the 40% gross tertiary enrollment ratio, up from the current level of 18.8%, as well as the 60-40 science to humanities ratio, from the current one of 40 to 60, as captured in the Education Strategic Plan of 2018 to 2030. Mr. Speaker, between 2012 and early 2017, there was nothing more demoralizing than the phenomenon we called DUMSA. It was symptomatic of a dysfunctional system, and it caused widespread depression amongst businesses and households. After that experience, my government was determined that DUMSA would not be inflicted upon Ghana and Ghanaians and an MPP government. Shouts will not wish DUMSA away in our history. It will not. After that experience, my government was determined that DUMSA would not be inflicted upon Ghana and Ghanaians under MPP government. And I'm glad to be able to say, so far, so good. We have managed to keep the lights on these last 7 years, even in the midst of a financial crisis. We managed the energy sector with discipline and expertise to avoid a repetition of the hardships inflicted on Ghanaians some years ago. Furthermore, through determined, skillful negotiation, we have been able to reduce considerably the energy sector debt that we inherited. Indeed, the government negotiating team carried out a successful reconciliation exercise with the IPPs and ECG, which established that the IPP arrears position was not the $1.6 billion that had been previously reported in the media, but was actually $1.2 billion. That is savings of some $400 million. Additionally, the government negotiating team has reached commercial agreements on headline terms for the restructuring of power purchase agreements and arrears with AXA, Amandi, SunPower, Senet, and Early Power, and is finalizing remaining definitive documentation of such terms, which will result in total expected savings in excess of $9.1 billion over the lifespan of the IPP projects. In the meantime, ECG has been able to secure a fixed monthly energy purchase price with all the IPPs. This has led to a monthly payment of $43 million instead of the $77 million. That is monthly savings of $34 million, or a 44% reduction in monthly payments, a far better outcome than the take-or-pay system we inherited. The Speaker, I'm happy to report that we're making admirable progress in the provision of electricity to all parts of the country. Last year, 207 communities were connected to the grid, taking the current national access rate, electricity access rate, to 88.85%. We are aiming to achieve universal access this year by connecting an additional 400 communities to the national grid under the Self-Help Electrification Program and other 10 key projects. As part of efforts to improve power system reliability in the middle and northern parts of Ghana, government took a decision to relocate the 250-megawatt Ameri plant from Abwazi to Anwamaso in Kumasi. The Volta River Authority has successfully relocated 6 units of the Ameri plant with capacity of 150 megawatts, which are currently being tested and commissioned in Kumasi. The authority is taking steps to relocate the remaining 4 units before the end of the year. Mr. Speaker, we're also making steady progress in our commitment to increase the component of renewable energy to our energy generation mix. A 4-megawatt floating solar PV